Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we got you on a Bears victory Monday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And
sorry about that, buddy. My phone wouldn't go off, wouldn't stop making noise. Sorry about that.
$5.
$5?
$5.
I actually have money today.
I mean, in the open.
I only get three singles.
$5. Put everything in the cup, please. Every dollar.
There you go.
I mean, we can't even start yet.
Better than the other day when I forgot my phone.
It's something, boy. Folks, this is me. This is my life.
Let me turn the ringer off.
There you go. Go ahead and let me know when you're ready.
We're good.
All right.
I got it. The volumes are off.
Where did I leave off, Jay Moore? Where did I leave off? Got Shay, got Jay Moore. What else?
Pick it up with Twitch and YouTube.
Okay. 3, 2.
Rolling.
We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for Bears Monday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Don't forget to watch our show on YouTube and Twitch as well. At Cap, we are living in the afterglow of the NFL draft and the Chicago Bears.
What a draft they had. It was spectacular. And my go-to NFL analyst, Shane Orling, is telling me the kid we got in the fifth round, Austin Booker, is really, really good. He's going to have an intensive breakdown for us tomorrow on this kid. But if he is a piece, you traded back up. You had 11 picks next year. Not all 11 are going to be able to make your roster. So if you traded a 4 next year to get this kid on the board because you really liked him, great addition. I love the drafting of the punter. The punter is a weapon. And in this climate, outdoors at Soldier Field, and you got a guy like that with that leg, let's go. And then, of course, Caleb and Adunze, and then Karan Amagaji from Yale, local kid from Hinsdale. Did you see any of his tweets? They unearthed his tweets from when he was a high school kid. He's a huge Bears fan, and he was firing on them because they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a diehard fan. I loved it. I loved the passion.
That's right. What I really like, Cap, about what the Bears have been able to do, we know that the Bears didn't have like this long, long list of picks this year, the fewest picks in the NFL coming into the draft. And so with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, for those who missed our Friday show, I think it's very simple. When you look at Caleb Williams, we've known for 4 months plus that Caleb Williams is going to be the guy. Even with Justin Fields in a Bears uniform, you know that Ryan Poles looked at the quarterback position and said, you know what, we're going to try to upgrade, if nothing else, reset the quarterback clock by having someone who is the best quarterback on the board. Arguably the best prospect on the board as well with Caleb Williams. We'll see how that all works out the next 2 or 3 years. But the point is, though, is that Caleb Williams is going to be the man. And Caleb Williams clearly is embracing being a Chicago Bear just based on everything you see on social media, all the interviews that he's done. He's excited. And the thing I like, Cap, is not cockiness. It is a commitment. It is excitement. It is confidence that exudes from Caleb Williams. This is not new, by the way, because he was like this at USC as well. You don't. If you're looking for an aw shucks quarterback with his head down and just happy to be here, just happy to be part of the ball club, that's not who Caleb Williams is. A lot of the young athletes are not like that because they want to be able to establish a legacy. When you have a mission statement and you want everyone to know, hey, I want to be legendary in this city. I want to be a legendary quarterback. Hey, man, he's got goals. Rightfully so. I don't want my quarterback to be all shucks looking at his feet when he talks to you. I want a guy that is confident, and that's what's needed in this city at the quarterback position. Again, I'm not guaranteeing anything with Caleb Williams. The makeup and everything I saw in college tells me that he is ready to go and ready to lead this team to greatness.
I love that he engages like the punter. Hey, man, welcome. You're not going to be punting too much this year. I love, as you talked about, that confidence and that fun personality. He welcomes the free agent quarterback we sign out of Western Kentucky. Whoa! Hey, welcome to Chicago. He just has changed the vibe around the team. Mm-hmm. That picture that he took in Detroit, and by the way, hats off to the Motor City. Set a record with 750,000 people at the draft, but they showed up and showed out in the Motor City. So, Shea, way to go, man. Nice job by your town. But I love the picture he took with all the Bears fans. And if you look in the background, there's a Packer fan there. There's a Viking fan there. Yes. There's some Lions fans.
Yes.
Like, oh, God.
Yes.
Bears are for real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's freaking go.
He's part of that excitement, and people want to be a part of it. They want to see the show. Oh, you'll see the show. It's Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
It's his show.
The Roma Dunze thing with his mom where she's giving like her thoughts on how proud I am of you, handsome, and blah, blah, blah. Dude, like all of it. These guys just, it looks super freaking cool to be a Bears fan.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And then Roma Dunze being part of this football team as well. A lot of conjecture, a lot of hand-wringing about what the Bears could do at 9. But again, this is just all the reports that we're reading, and we kept bringing them to you here on Cap and Jay Hood. The idea that the Bears could go up or go down in the draft, but it's right there. If the best available is 9 and it's Roma Dunze, that's exactly what the Bears went for. They got a young asset, which tells you a lot about Keenan Allen. My hope is that Keenan Allen can ball out and be able to play the lion's share of the time because he's got a young, hungry lion right over his shoulder in Roma Dunze at the wide receiver position. The other choices that the Bears made in the draft as well is talking about the offensive tackle from Yale, Amagaje. Okay, so to me, this is somewhat of a project, but it also checks a box on the offensive line. I don't know how good he's going to be. Obviously, you know, you can go to any bar. Hey, barkeep. Can I get the Yale game up there? They throw you out, especially in this city.
Yeah.
No Yale game. I tried that once with Wyoming over at Mother Hubbard's. Got thrown out.
You put the Wyoming game out? No.
Sorry,
Jay Moore.
All I could do is I did the reading like you did over the weekend about this young man. Again, more of a project, more than anything else, but they liked what they saw on film. Besides the Chicago ties, they just want someone to be able to plug a hole. Hopefully he can with the number 3 pick.
Yeah, if he could come in and give you depth on the offensive line, and then he pushes Braxton Jones pushes him, may the best man win at left tackle. I just like them throwing more resources at offensive line. But the Caleb Williams Odunze vibe Friday afternoon at Hallis Hall at 4 o'clock, I'm locked in. My wife said, what are you watching? I'm watching our new football team. I mean, it's just awesome.
Let's talk about the punter, because you mentioned that you liked that move. Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, 4,479 yards on 93 punts. The Ray Guy of college in a lot of ways. He broke a record set going back to 1938. Now, there was some struggling there from Trenton Gill last season. I know that out of the things that you could talk about with the Bears, if we mentioned 10 things, Trenton Gill probably wouldn't make the top 10. But the point is, though, is that the reason why that Torrey Taylor was drafted is because it is Ryan Poles looking at the team and saying, what can we upgrade? That's the whole thing with the draft.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not settled or not happy about certain positions you have in the draft, then you have to be able to upgrade. Torrey Taylor is an upgrade from what you already have.
Massive.
See, but the thing is, and I know people like to be able to pee into the tulips of the Chicago Bears because they're looking for a reason to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to look at Torrey Taylor and say, that's a mistake. Because that's a clear upgrade from what you have from Trenton Gill. Gill was a 7th-round pick.
Correct.
Okay, 7th-round pick. Okay, so now Torrey Taylor, and again, for those that did not watch Iowa football, let me help you. Iowa offense sucked. You know who the MVP was for Iowa? Torrey Taylor, because of field positioning.
Correct.
He had to. When you're scoring 3 points a game and running the football 2 yards in a cloud of dust and can't move the football, that guy becomes your MVP.
Huge.
So you're just trying to, you're upgrading at that as well. So it's not just that Poles was enamored by Taylor. He looked at his board and goes, okay, there's three phases on this football team. So we got to upgrade at our special teams, too. I know everyone's just all focused on offense or just defense. Special teams matters. It matters. That's why Tory Taylor was drafted.
I absolutely love the pick, and so I reached out to one of my college friends who scouts in the league, and he said, that is a great pick. He said it would never have been there in the fifth round. He said, in your climate, that guy's a weapon. That is a really, really smart pick by Ryan Poles.
Just, again, people can turn a blind eye to special teams. That matters, though, Cap. It matters. So if you feel like Trenton Gill is less than draft his replacement. Let them have a battle, and we know who's going to win that one. Because this guy has got an unbelievable leg, apparently. I saw Iowa. I saw him kick, but I got frustrated seeing him all the time because Iowa couldn't move the football. And then Austin Booker, from the draft pick by Danny Zetterman from Kansas, the defensive end. So I have no problem with that as well because they look at him, and I find him to be a work in progress. 505 snaps in college. He led Kansas in sacks, tackles for a loss, and forced fumbles. He's 6'4", 253, and works in a 4.3.
He can move. And if he is what Shea's telling me this morning, he thinks he is, and he's going to do a deeper dive on him tonight on film. This is a kid who, had he gone back to school, many projected late first, second round pick. Bears get him in the fifth. Let's go. They just got to develop him now. They just got to develop him. Just the whole vibe around this franchise is so radically different this morning.
Now, the question I would have coming out of this draft, Cap, is the defensive tackle. You still need more depth at defensive tackle. Unless Jarvon Dexter takes a huge leap this upcoming season, it's something that the Bears needed to address, and they still need to today. The draft's over. You know, free agency was, I thought, was stellar for the Chicago Bears, but defensive tackle is something that they have to be able to take a look at. They are leaning on Jarvon Dexter to take a big leap. Hopefully he can, because it's needed on this team.
Now they've got to just go out and comb the available free agents once June 1 hits, so we get all these cap casualties, the post-June 1 cuts. Those could come down any day, but they're not effective until after June 1, and see if there's an edge. Does Yannick Ngakoue come back on a one-year deal? I don't think you're counting on a fifth-round rookie to be the opposite edge of Montez Sweat. You've got to develop, and he's got to earn that spot. Maybe somebody they've already got there. Maybe Dominic Robinson takes a step. We'll find out. But it's going to be hard, as Ryan Pohl said, to make this roster. The roster has changed in 2 years so dramatically, it's unbelievable.
Yes, Cap. And that's how good organizations are supposed to do it.
Correct.
We admire Kansas City. We admire San Francisco. We admire the Patriots under Bill Belichick all those years because incrementally they got better or they had a championship-like standard.
Mm-hmm.
With the Chicago Bears, we're so not used to it, people don't know how to react. Here's two things off the top. One, it's not about my board. I don't have a board, and Cap doesn't have a board, but it's not about your board as a Bears fan on what the Bears should have done, what they should have done as far as your board, because the only board that matters is the one in Lake Forest.
Correct.
That's number one.
That's correct.
Number two, when it comes to the Chicago Bears team, again, unless you just got dropped into the city and you just learned about Chicago Bears lore this year, Cap and I have lived it for many, many years. We've never seen anything like this.
Nothing.
But we got to make sure we underline the point, Cap. We've never seen anything like this as far as not about the draft. It's just about the building, the process of how they were able to get this done. And again, I'm guaranteeing anything as far as the Bears being the top of the NFC North on the way to the Super Bowl. The point is that the arrow's pointing up for them to get there because they're building it the right way.
They are. And I said this to you, I believe I said it to you on Friday, watching our war room when they would give a shot, there's polls and even from it, we just look different, man. It just looks like we're one of the better teams, how we're run in the NFL now. Doesn't it? That vibe.
Right.
Again, they got to go out on the field and they got to produce. But man, oh man, I'm excited. I haven't been this excited for Bears football in a long, long time.
So there's two things I look at, right? First, I check myself and I go, is it just me? Or am I just really, really excited about the blue and orange? And then I look at the process of how they're able to build this and I go, I'm justified to feel optimistic about the Bears.
You are?
I'm justified. And it's not just because I'm a lifelong fan. I mean, many that are listening are lifelong fans of the Chicago Bears. But it's just, it's right there in front of you on how they're able to build this. And with Caleb Williams and his excitement. Again, he's a young man, emotional, that wants to be able to win. I mean, it's really fascinating, Cap. Think about all the top draft picks that the Bears have had. And think about if they've ever had that kind of energy and excitement to come into the building. Where, as you mentioned, I got the alerts on for Caleb Williams to make sure it's not a fake Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. I got my alerts locked in to know it's a real Caleb Williams on Twitter. And I go through it. But I mean, it's buzzing every 15 minutes.
Oh, he's Caleb Williams. He's all over it.
Oh, God. Every draft pick, every scrappy pickup, he's welcoming them into the Chicago Bears.
Love it. Love it.
It's like, wait a minute. So let's talk about this. Shay, let's open the phone lines this morning. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. The new look Bears, are they dangerous? What did you think of what the Bears did in the draft? Who's the best team in the NFC North? And then where are the Bears as far as the hierarchy in the NFC North? Let's get your overall thoughts on what happened over the weekend with the Bears in the draft on the home of the Bears, Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Cap and Jay Hood morning show on a Bears Monday on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our phone number as we talk to you about Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and the rest of the Bears draft, getting your overall thoughts on what the Bears did. Any omissions? Any question marks? I will tell you this. We are living in the afterglow of the NFL draft, Cap, because just a great time to be a Bears fan because the arrow's pointing up for the franchise.
Yes, it is. And you have the audio of when they picked the punter there. And
I do?
Yes. The guy was wearing a Jack Sanborn jersey. Mm-hmm. He was English. And when he came out and did the announcement of Chicago picking Torrey Taylor with pick 125, it is freaking sensational because he was tweaking all the NFC North fans that were there. And then Torrey Taylor spoke. He got the phone call from Ryan Poles, and they put him out with Eberflus and with Richard Hightower. It's like, it's a punter. And I've talked to enough people that I trust that know that they're like, dude, he's different. This is different. This is a really, really good pick.
Hey, Bears fans, can you hear anything? Because I can't.
Oh, boy.
It is an honor and a privilege to be making this selection for the best team in the NFC North. The best team in the NFC. The best team in the NFL. The Bears.
Boy, he's going full Guy Ritchie here.
Shout out to all the UK Bears fans. With the 122nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, our Chicago Bears select Torrey Taylor, punter, Iowa.
There you go.
That was so great.
Yes. Thank you. I'm happy for that guy. Unfortunately, Rich Eisen gobbled him up, as usual, unprofessionalism from Eisen. Not a surprise.
Wow.
Nonetheless, I mean, just let the guy just give the pick.
Right.
You got all this airtime. Can you let that guy just give the pick? Do you have to step on it?
Use your word. He stuck his beak in there.
Yeah, stuck his beak for no reason.
Right.
For no reason. But it's Rich Eisen.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, not a surprise. But I'm happy for the young man that he was able to to represent the Chicago Bears. But then you've got
Bears with their final pick of this draft.
The Jack Seaborn jersey.
Hey.
Jack Seaborn jersey.
Hey.
Yeah. NFL Network, stellar as always.
Yeah. It would be Sanborn. And then they trade back up.
Jack Seaborn, you're unbelievable.
Correct.
There you go.
And then they trade back up and get Austin Booker. I'm like, oh, got a Kansas guy. I walked in, and Shay's like, I love that pick. Okay, do a deep dive on him. And everything I've read, people are really excited about him being on the board.
Yeah, I mean, again, I like what the Bears have done, even before we got to last Thursday, just being able to build this thing. And as Ryan Poles said several years ago, I want to be able to do this the right way. this is the right way for him to do it, just building it. And again, there's still holes. I have a fresh depth chart. And by the way, as the draft was going on, I was happy to go to our lads, and they were plugging them in, Cap. As I had the board up, boom, Odunze pops up. Boom, Caleb Williams pops up. You know, I have this open every day, right? It's just like before, as I come in, the whole board is always there. Every day, the depth chart for the Chicago Bears. I'm looking for something new, and then look at the new names popping in all over the place for this Bears team. It's exciting.
Super cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. I open it every day.
Super cool to see where this thing is headed. And, of course, there are going to be some out there that are going, well, he hasn't done anything yet, and I'm going to reserve judgment.
Fair.
Okay, that's fair.
Fair.
Be you. I'm going to go all in.
Yeah.
Meathead all in.
I understand that point of view, by the way. It's like the Bears haven't done anything yet. Right? Yeah, but you know why they haven't done anything? Because the season hasn't started yet.
Correct.
That's why. Yeah, the season has to start. You have to see how it all works together. I said this way before the draft and before free agency. You can have as many holes filled as possible. The bottom line is that it all has to come together. Coaching staff, new players, old players, it all has to work together in concert. All right, let's go to the phone lines and talk to you. 312-332-3776 here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Carl and Dixon on Cap and J Hood. Carl, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So it's hard to not give them a solid A for the first round, but overall it's a B+. There's a couple of disagreements I have with the latter picks. I thought we could have addressed the safety need when Cameron Kitchens was available, a guy from Miami. He seemed like a good fit. And also Cedric, the center from Georgia, seemed like someone that fell to our lap and had a lot of upside. And with the seventh round, with Brendan Rice being available, I would like to see them have traded up into the seventh round and get him on that rookie contract and pair him up with his college receiver. It seemed like the risk-reward value would have been extremely in our favor. So
trading up.
Those are my disagreements.
So you wanted to give up future draft capital to get back into the seventh round?
Sure. I would have tried to work a deal out with the team. I think I could have came up with something.
Okay. I didn't get really outraged by that. And they've got a pretty good wide receiver room now. Yeah.
The seventh rounder, though, it's a worth it.
So you're giving more future draft capital away to get a
receiver. Yeah, but how much are you giving up to move into the seventh round? A sixth and a seventh or two sevenths? Or, you know, it's,
yeah, why am I giving up multiple picks next year to go get a receiver who I don't think has a chance to play next year for our team?
But what happens when Keenan Allen's gone? Maybe he develops over those next 2 years, and we have him on a seventh-round deal.
I got Rome Odunze. I got Tyler Scott, who's trying to develop, and I got Velus Jones, who's trying to develop. And then I'll have my full complement of picks next year. I'll go get myself a receiver if that's what I need to do.
So a B+ on the Carl's board.
Correct. We will agree to disagree.
No, just the point is that we knew that this was going to be a talking point when the Bears had so few picks in the draft.
Correct.
But again, when you look at it with perspective, the Bears, what they did is they got Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze. They got Montez Sweat via trade. Amagaje with the third pick. You got Keenan Allen via trade. You have Torrey Taylor and Ryan Bates. And you've got Austin Booker. That's what the Bears did. All this via trade or actual pure draft picks.
Pretty good.
That's
pretty
what the,
good, kid.
That's the draft.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
So I was arguing, we were debating this morning. If you look back, their 83 draft is the greatest draft in the history of the franchise.
Without question.
Without question. They drafted Jimbo Covert, Hall of Fame, Willie Gault, starter on a Super Bowl team, Mike Richardson, starter on a Super Bowl team. Dave Duerson, starter on a Super Bowl team. Tom Thayer, starter on a Super Bowl team. Hall of Fame defensive end Richard Dent in the eighth round. And Mark Bortz, starting guard on a Super Bowl team in the eighth round as well. Best draft they've ever had. 63, I believe it was. Maybe it was 65. Sorry, 65. They drafted with they had two first-round picks. We'll take Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers. Pretty good, kid.
Well, no doubt. Now you're talking about legacy players right there in that particular draft.
Correct.
As far as the amount of people that made an impact for the 85 Bears team, look at that whole draft.
Oh, my God.
Look at it.
That's unbelievable.
Let's go to Joe and Bourbonnais on Cap and J Hood. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Today has been awesome to wake up to after the weekend we had. Just talking about the draft and everything, among my friends and seemingly with you, it's for the first time in my life, I don't have false hope coming out of the draft. You know, over the last few eras, we had Trubisky. We weren't really confident, but we had this, like, false sense of hope. With Fields, I think there was a little more confidence, but still, like, for me and my friends, it was a false sense of hope. For the first time in my life, I truly feel confident coming out of the draft. Like, we have a team that's actually going to compete, and it's because of our front office, who is, like, Ryan Poles. I didn't really believe in him at first, but just the way he's conducted himself, not doing anything cute, just addressing everything we need. And I think he did it perfectly. I'm still on the fence about Caleb Williams, but just that guy's confidence. He's not cocky, and I don't know. I like, this is just the best I've felt, just in terms of just being confident. I don't have false hope. I truly believe this is going to be a team that's just going to compete. We just need to develop. That's the only thing we have to do.
Hey, Joe, don't sit on that fence too long, man. Hey, you know, that causes chafing.
I'm confident, Hoodie. Not false hope. I'm not caught counting Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The one thing is we look great. We just have to develop.
Well, you said you were on the fence about Caleb Williams. I'm just saying, if you don't stay on that fence too long, you better get some lube, because that causes chafing. That's what I'm saying to you.
Hey, that's good advice, Hoodie. I appreciate that. But I'm coming off. But you know what I mean? It's I'm all in. Like, before, I'm not saying I'm on the fence where I'm going to criticize him. He's my quarterback. He is. And I'm ready. I have never been this excited. I'm about to go to Dick's Sporting Goods in an hour and a half and buy my first Bears hat in 10 years.
Holy
cow. Go get him, man.
Yeah. Wear your blue and orange proudly.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Also, what I really loved.
Thank you, Joe.
Our neighbors to the north in Wisconsin. They too happy with what went on with the Bear this weekend.
No. When you start to have some tremors from up north, the team that's owned the Bears for a long time, the quarterback that's owned the Bears for a long time, now that says something. We'll have that for you coming up next. If you're on hold, you will be on the air on a Bears Monday. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Are the Packers worried? We'll explain that next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, some thoughts about the Cubs and Sox and everything else MLB. With Jesse Rogers at 8:35, but now it's time for Shot or No Shot. It's brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet. It's now live in Illinois, and you can sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. So much to play. Yep. NBA playoffs, bet. NHL playoffs, bet. Major League Baseball, bet. Golf, bet. Lot, and the Derby coming bet. Up this week. Say good morning to Shea W. Norland.
Good morning. How are we feeling on a Monday?
Awesome.
Bears Monday.
Awesome.
Victory Monday.
Yeah, I feel great, Cap and Shea. I would ask you, Shea, so how difficult was it for you to get the candle wax off the floor? After all those days of burning your candles for the number three pick in the draft, how difficult was that task?
It was a lot of scraping, but that's all right. It was worth it. It's all worth it in the end.
I don't know if I should ask it at 18 or now. Are you happy with the Patriots draft?
Yes. The answer is yes.
All the way through? Throughout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smiling ear to ear.
You expect him to start as a rookie?
Yes.
Day one?
Yep. Might not, but I would like him to.
All the praise about Belichick working with Pat McAfee, by the way. Little 50-50 salt on the Patriots, by the way, in his analysis.
Yes. Oh, well, what a surprise. Yeah. Wide receiver wasn't on his team needs.
A little 50-50 salt. Was not necessarily pleased by what the Patriots did in the draft.
He wasn't a huge Drake May guy. He said he got footwork issues.
So, I mean, that's fine.
We can get to it around the NFL, but what do I care about what he thinks about anybody's draft? He was horrible at drafts.
That is correct.
Horrible.
I just thought it was an interesting talking point because it's your team and he's no longer the head coach. And he just got through being fired or just amicable parting.
Cast aside.
Whatever it was.
Cast asunder.
His thoughts was interesting.
Yes.
We go to Shea Norling with Shot or No Shot.
They should have given him a one-way ticket to the bottom of the ocean, to be frank. He was doing a terrible job. All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot. NFL.com graded all 32 drafts in the league. Bears ranked very close to top marks with an A-. That is the highest grade in the NFC North. The Lions and Packers both got Bs, and the Vikings got a B-plus for their work in the draft. Shot or No Shot, the Bears have the brightest future in the NFC North.
That's a shot. Absolute shot. Detroit doesn't have their quarterback signed yet, and they're not, I'm not saying they're not going to sign him, but Jared Goff is not, like, at the top of the food chain. He's a good player, very good. Chicago absolutely has the brightest future.
Yeah, and that's a shot. You know why it's a shot? Because you're starting from the bottom.
Yeah.
So you have no other choice but to, if you can, draft well, get quality free agents, and dig yourself out of the basement.
Correct.
So, I mean, the Detroit Lions are a ready-made team. I know we just heard from a Packer fan. And by the way, for some Packers fans, the rivalry is not Bears-Packers, it's Bears-Lions.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I'm like, sure, it's an old rivalry, the Bears and the Packers, but the Packers are looking at their crosshairs on the Lions because they want that top spot.
Yeah, that's
and they feel threatened.
Recent thing.
They feel threatened.
Having spent a lot of time every summer in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. they actually think their biggest rival is the Vikings.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Like, that's the one that, because they look at the Bears as the freaking nail.
Mm-hmm.
About to change, folks.
Yes. So, no question that they had the brightest future. Lions are already made. The Packers were Jordan Love. They went through a seamless transition from Favre to Rodgers to Love. Oh, man.
Yep.
Looks like it, right?
Here we go.
So that's why I would say that it's an absolute shot. The future is right there. It's in front of you.
Correct.
You're the Chicago Bears.
That is correct.
Shay?
All right. We also have further results officially on the trade last year to send the number one pick to Carolina. The Bears sent the number one pick to the Panthers. They got Bryce Young. In return, the Bears have now gotten DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Caleb Williams, plus the second-round pick next year. Shot or no shot, this is the single best trade in Chicago sports history.
Wow. That's a no shot, but no.
Hold on a second. Give me the candidates.
Well, it's certainly not that.
The trade for Arrieta, he helped lead to a World Series, is a great trade.
Yep.
No question about it.
One of the linchpins to something that you never thought you'd see.
Correct. That was an amazing, amazing trade. What else would be a...
All right, let's operate under a set of... Because I get you don't want to do it the day of, and personally, I think it's one of the greatest in Chicago sports history. I think it might be one of the greatest in NFL history, so yeah. How could it not be?
Yeah, I can... If this plays out like we think it will, it could be the greatest trade in Chicago sports history.
It might not even be close. If Caleb is 70% of what we expect him to be, it's the greatest trade in Chicago sports history. It's insane when you think about they got DJ Moore as a Pro Bowl receiver, 1,000-yard player, Tyreek Stevenson, who started playing like that level of corner at the end of last year. You got Darnell Wright, who looks like a potential all-pro on your offensive line. Caleb Williams, the greatest quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, and you still have a second-round pick next year. That's got to be top two in the history of this town.
Right.
It's insane.
Now, like Hoodie said, the Arrieta trade has already paid dividends because you got a ring on your finger.
That's exactly right.
Now, the day that Caleb Williams leads you to a Super Bowl championship, yeah, that will probably move into the top spot. Certainly, it's a stock you'd want to buy right now.
No, there's no question about that. I would say no shot at this point in time because, again, I mean, the hope is that we can consider that, but not at this point in time. No, I would say that's a no shot. Shay.
All right, some changes coming to Hard Knocks. I've heard a lot about this the last few weeks, that the Bears should be open to taking on Hard Knocks with Caleb Williams in the building, with Roma Dunze, with the NFL seemingly centering around the Chicago Bears. But a change that I haven't heard a lot of people talking about was announced last month that Hard Knocks will feature entire divisions instead of just one team. There is not a more interesting division in this sport than the NFC North, with the Lions trying to go back to the NFC title game and avenge a loss, the Packers and Jordan Love, Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy, and certainly the Bears, who have been the center of football the past few months. Shot or no shot, the NFC North needs to be on Hard Knocks.
Boy.
That's no shot. I'll ask this, Cap. Why is there a need, not for everybody, but for some, for the Bears to be on Hard Knocks? Why is there a need? Like, we have all, you and I, and everyone that watches the Bears very closely, has as much access as possible when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Like, they already have national acclaim. Is that the end-all, be-all, really, in 2024, to be able to be on Hard Knocks?
It gives you an inside look in a different way that we don't get. The Bears have not been the best. Let's be fair here. They have not been the best in media access. They just haven't. And to see the way they did it on Friday, when Caleb came in with Roma Dunze, they sat down and met the media, pulled up a chair before the press conference. Hey, I'm Caleb. Hey, I'm Courtney Cronin. I'm Brad Biggs. I'm Dan Weider. Whoever it was. And they all sat around and just got to know each other. Then they started the press conference. It's just, I think it's going to be operated differently going forward. And if you get them on Hard Knocks with cameras and places we haven't seen, I think it'd be super freaking cool. I'm all in, and I absolutely think that division should be the choice. Or the Bears, if they don't go the divisional route.
I mean, the only reason why that there should be excitement about the Bears being on Hard Knocks is because we haven't seen it before. The novelty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we know the McCaskies didn't want to have that kind of access. And now you have a team that many people are interested in. I get that. But for me, I don't understand why that it has to be a must here in the offseason. You got to have them on Hard Knocks. Why?
Because
you know what I care about? The playoffs, the Super Bowl, a championship, a parade. Hard Knocks is in there someplace in the top 10, but not even in my top 5. I don't know. I mean, as far as access, maybe because I'm too close to it, and I can just walk up the house, Jonathan Hood, Cabin J Hood, open the gates. Maybe that's the reason. But the point is, like, for me, it's like the Bears already have a claim. So I don't know why it has to be a must for a Bears fan.
Yeah, for me it is. I want to see it. I absolutely want to see.
What are you going to see that you don't already know?
Oh, I think you're going to see a ton. Access that we've never seen before. Guys in a away from the football field way that we haven't gotten. Now, again, we haven't been very good, so the stories haven't been that compelling. But to tell it in that way with, who is it, Liev Schreiber, who's the narrator? Yeah. Like the whole deal, man. I want that.
But you already had that access. They're in local restaurants in which you live. You just go open the door. Oh, there it is. It's Caleb Williams having lunch.
Yeah, but
without cameras.
But even if he's sitting there next to me at Chicago Cut,
yeah,
that isn't, I'm not getting the backstage story. It's like, hey, Caleb. Hey, how you doing, Cap? That doesn't give me what I think I'm going to get out of that show. I'm excited. I want it desperately.
Shay.
All right, the White Sox and Bulls both might be going the wrong direction, but stars seem to be aligning for the rest of town. Bears had Caleb Williams in the draft, obviously, Roma Dunze, the rest of this draft and all of the positivity. The Hawks with Bedard and another high pick sure to come in this draft lottery. Cubs continue weathering some injuries by simply winning games with their young players. I know they lost 2-3 to Boston, but 17-11 on the season. Hot start with their young talent. Sky have Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso debuting in a couple weeks. Shot or no shot, there has never been a better time to be a Chicago sports fan.
Well, that's a no shot.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point in time, yes, because of the youth. It's what you just laid out, Shay. All of the up-and-coming young players are going to be here. You laid them all out. But then there's the Jordan era. Then there's the Peyton era. Then there's all that. So, no, as far as at this point in time, it's been a while since we see all these young players together growing up in Chicago. I think that's special.
Yeah, this is a perfect question for First Take, Shay, but we lived through the 90s with Michael Jordan at the top of the freaking sport, and he's still there as the GOAT, and we won 6 out of 6 championships. At the same time, the Blackhawks in the early 90s went to the Stanley Cup final. The White Sox had the best team in baseball till the strike hit. They might have won the World Series that year. In 1998, Sammy Sosa clubbed 66 home runs, and the Cubs went to the playoffs and won the wild card tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is not. Maybe on the field, it'll prove to be that way.
Yes.
Right now, no shot, Shay.
Look, man, my point is I'm living in right now, and for me, like, I always get a little concerned. Kids aren't watching sports as much as they used to. This crop of young talent all kind of showing up here at the exact same time might be the magic elixir.
You had to fix what's been broken, but the best time to watch sports, the Bears dominated the 80s. The Cubs went to the playoffs in the 80s. There were some really good things. The Bulls started to turn the corner. Michael got drafted. Pretty amazing stuff. To the late 80s where they couldn't beat the Pistons. Into the 90s? Stop yourself.
What Shay just laid out, though, is, well, if you break it and you start over, you have an opportunity to really kind of reimagine your franchise. Mm-hmm. Look at what you saw about. Like, the Sky, they broke up their team. They did. Yeah. They have a championship team. Copper. Candace Park. Okay, we'll just move on. They are resetting their franchise, the Sky. With the Blackhawks, with Bedard. Fantastic. A fantastic young phenom that's on this hockey club. And then where the Cubs are, where the Bears are right now. I mean, I understand Shay's point. Because you hope that they all can be able to grow up together and be all at a championship level together.
Correct.
And this is where we're talking about players that are 25 and younger. That's why you could be optimistic, for sure.
Correct.
And by the way, shout out to the Sky. By the way, I understand that the WNBA doesn't resonate with everybody in the city, but when you bring in someone like Angel Reese, you might want to make her feel special and make your organization feel big. See her walk into a pretty much empty gym. That's how she was introduced, Cap. It's on social. People have been killing them all weekend about comparing that to the Indiana Fever or some of the other top draft picks where there's personnel and there's people applauding and there's, you know, fireworks and all this other stuff. And then here comes Angel Reese just walking into an empty gym with five reporters. No popping circumstance, no music, no little kids. You know, what a great opportunity for little young girls to be able to be there to applaud a hero that's coming in Angel Reese.
That's an organizational fail.
This guy, you know, listen. An organization that needs some wins, I'm not talking about on the court. I'm talking about from a PR standpoint, do better. Do better. Be better than that.
Let me ask you a question.
That's brutal. You would have done much better. It would have been fireworks if you were running the organization. She just wouldn't walk into an empty gym with no fanfare.
Correct. But let me ask you a question. You've been in this town a long time.
Yep.
So have I. Shay, you're the EP of the show. Have any of you gotten a call from this guy? Hey, we'd like to bring Angel Reese by. Hey, Camila Cardozo and Angel are going to make a little tour. You want to have them? Have you gotten a call? I haven't.
Jay Moore? Nope.
I haven't seen an email either.
Nope. See?
That's my point.
Listen, look around the sports landscape. If you're the Sky, you want to be better than, not less than.
Correct.
Or the same as.
Correct.
I mean, you have two stars. It's not one, two stars.
You're telling me if they called Danny and said, hey, we'd like to bring these two young ladies by the station, we wouldn't do that? Of course we would.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is nothing against the team as far as the players. It's just the infrastructure there. I mean, stop treating it like it's just like lower-level college. There's tickets that are being sold up the wazoo just to see the Sky. I mean, the season ticket base has gone up. The people that are going to be flying in or coming in to see Angel Reese and
Camila Cardozo.
And Cardozo, it's been tremendous. A major increase in tickets, and that's how you treat them? Be better. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, be better than that.
Around the NFL is next on Cap and Jay Hood.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the NFL right here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, Jesse Rogers will Join us for Cubs and Sox and MLB conversation 8:35. But first, around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, I have a couple leftover thoughts from the first round of the NFL draft, and I want to start with the Minnesota Vikings, who I thought had a pretty nice takeaway in the first round, J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. They traded up twice to get them, and my question is, you had a nice first round, but at what cost? Because if you look at their 2025 draft picks, they are depleted. And I don't know if that's the way you want to enter the second year of what we kind of assume is a rebuild up in Minnesota. I have a hard time reconciling a good first round, but you're lighting all your day two picks on fire to do it. And I wonder if the Vikings trading up twice for the talent that they got would have been better served by sitting and taking talent that would have fallen to them. J.J. McCarthy, who knows? He might have just fallen to 11.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter? What's wrong with that?
They had to have known that someone was coming up to get that pick. Whether that was Sean Payton, Antonio Pierce, there was someone coming to get pick 10. That it was for sale, and they would have lost the guy they wanted. And if they have conviction on the quarterback, who are we to say they shouldn't have made the deal?
You know, as far as day two and day three, Shay, it the Minnesota draft reminded me of like a team that's ready-made on the precipice of getting to the championship, because I would have thought that they would have gotten themselves in the second and third round in the draft.
I would have too, or at least I would have thought that they would have moved some things around to get more picks next year. As mm-hmm. it stands yep. today, mm-hmm. this is why, like, when I see them get a B+, I get it because they got talented players. I think I would rank them more around a C or a C+. They have three selections next year. Round one, round five, round five. That's it. That's their 2025 draft right now.
But if they found their quarterback of the future and they replaced Danielle Hunter with Dallas Turner,
mm-hmm.
that's a pretty good draft.
Yeah, Cap, but he's talking about, if we think that the Vikings are the worst team in the NFC North, if the Bears are able to get 10 wins, 11 wins, a playoff team, Minnesota's going to be left behind. And what he's saying is that look at what they did in this draft where, yeah, you were very top-heavy, but then what about the rest of your draft? And then next year you don't have many picks.
He's right.
Not to say that they can't get acquire more picks via trade at some point in time, but the point is it seems like a team that's closer to a rebuild than being a real playoff team.
That's exactly my point, because you think about the 2023 draft for the Bears, and this is how I would frame it. Not that the Vikings are as bad as the Bears were in 2022 to get the top-level pick, but you want that second year of a rebuild, for me, to be a lot of picks. And the Bears last year had 10. Not that they all hit, but if I'm embarking on a rebuild, I want as many scratches of the ticket as I can get. To burn that many picks and give myself only three selections plus a comp pick for Kirk Cousins next season, boy, I feel like I'm missing a year where I could have added a lot of depth.
I feel like everybody sees that with the Vikings except the Vikings, as far as their rebuild or their resetting the franchise.
But if they believe that that kid, I'm talking about J.J., maybe not next season, but is the guy, you don't make the move to go get him?
That move I'm fine with. The one I struggle more is going from 23 to 17 and giving up the picks to get Dallas Turner. Now, if Dallas Turner becomes this all-pro player, you can maybe forgive it a little bit. I just think you're giving up a lot of future capital that could be used to put depth around your young quarterback and speed your rebuild up.
Valid
to
criticism.
To only have four selections next year in the second year of the rebuild, I just feel like it's a lot of cost to give up for two players.
Adolfo Menza thinks they're right there in the mix.
There's a lot of talent on that team.
I guess. Just based on the way they're operating, I feel like they're in the mix.
They have a phenomenal coaching staff. They've developed guys really well. Like, it's hard for me to totally discount them, but Adolfo Menza also, for me, hasn't done a terrific job drafting yet. I think J.J. and Turner are two of the best picks he's had, but it's two first-round picks. You expect those to hit.
But boy, oh boy, they've got Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson.
Sure.
They got their quarterback. Again, he has to hit of the future. Aaron Jones at running back. They replaced a really good player in Danielle Hunter with a what they think is going to be, again, he has to hit. The other side, they signed the kid Greenard away from Houston. So they've kind of rebuilt on the fly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent there.
Absolutely. My worry, too, is that the contract coming down the pipe for Justin Jefferson is going to be backbreaking, and he's either going to destroy their cap sheet or be gone.
He won't be there.
I think this cap thing you speak of is a myth, because all I know is Philadelphia gives Jalen Hurts $40 billion. Oh, Devontae Smith, you want $25 million a year? Done. Oh, A.J. Brown, you want $32 million a year? Done. They just keep spending, man.
It is a myth as long as you stay good and you can find ways to move the money. Because if it doesn't work, if there's a problem with A.J. Brown or with Devontae Smith or whatever, or if Jalen Hurts isn't what you hoped he would be when you paid him the $40 million a year, you become the New Orleans Saints.
No question. But I'm saying, I keep hearing about this cap thing you talk about, and I keep looking around and teams are spending into oblivion.
The cap will eventually catch up to you unless you're the Rams, who have done a good job of circumventing it. Philly, Howie Roseman's a genius. He's done an incredible job of getting around it. But yeah. Even Philly, if it doesn't work, you're going to be the Saints. You're going to be $80 million over the cap at the end of every season, have to find ways to get back under it, and middling.
Shay, I know you're not going to listen to me, but I'll just say it out loud anyway. Don't take the cheese from this guy. Don't take the cheese from him. You've been saying that for months about this whole the cap being a myth. And now he's trying to make it seem like it's a new thought. Don't take the cheese. You see what he's doing, right?
I know I said a month ago that the salary cap's not real.
Months? Not a month ago. Months
if
ago.
If you've got the cash to get around it, it ain't real.
Don't take the cheese.
Don't say
You're not going to listen to me, but I mean, I think the audience can hear what's happening there.
My point is it can become real if things don't work the way that you expected them
to.
Yeah,
I noticed the Rams have really struggled with it. Wow.
The Saints have.
Well, maybe they got a bad front office. I don't know.
They went out and paid Derek Carr, and he's not good enough. And now your cap sheet's trouble.
Can you sneak in one more, please?
Well, I have a couple thoughts. One is the start of the first round, I kept thinking all the defensive talent just dropping. The playoff teams that were picking at the end of the first had to be licking their chops. And what is wrong with the Buffalo Bills? Stop sending picks to Kansas City. Stop. Stop it. They need a wide receiver more than anything in the world, and they send their first to Kansas City so that Kansas City gets Xavier Worthy and Patrick Mahomes gets the fastest wide receiver in this draft. Stop! Stop it. They sent the Mahomes pick to Kansas City.
They did.
Stop! What's wrong with them?
I guess they needed the capital they got back.
No. It doesn't make sense. Stop trying to empower the best team in the National Football League. Don't make them more of a juggernaut by giving them your future.
It's incredible. It's the team that beats their ass. It's like if somebody is shacking up with your wife outside of your marriage and you start writing them checks to get the hotel rooms. It's insane. What Buffalo does. They just empower Kansas City.
A decent proposal there.
That's it.
Wow. All right, one more.
You can tell it's a new regime in New England. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. For a team that Bill Belichick said doesn't need wide receivers and traditionally never drafted wide receivers when he was in charge there, how about New England taking Drake May in the first round and then adding on Washington receiver Jalen Polk and another receiver in Javon Baker? Both very highly thought of kids coming into this draft. You can tell things are different in New England.
Did you see their draft?
Whether it's good or not remains to be seen, but at least the approach is different.
They added on, and again, it's all going to be determined by how Drake May plays. But yes, they are doing business differently.
You have two quarterbacks, two wide receivers. You have a tight end. You took care of your offensive line. Pretty good. It's a different way of doing things. Whereas when Bill Belichick was with the Patriots, he would have his dog make the picks in the wicker chair, if you recall this.
During COVID.
Yeah, just sitting there with his dog sitting there making the picks for him. You say, a guard, we'll take a guard. Just because the dog said so.
Right.
He always wanted to unearth the gem that no one else. Where's that guy from? The Merchant Marine?
Yeah, right? Exactly right. So that's our look around the NFL, our draft overreactions right here on Cap and J Hood. We'll talk baseball with Jesse Rogers. That's coming up next. Cap and J Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.